If you ask me, why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me? Proudly I would say, I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away? Proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed? Smiling, he would say, I am a Muslim.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of God, welcome to another edition of the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh, greetings to you, and welcome to the program.
Alaikum salam wa rahmatullah, thank you for having me on.
You're welcome. We have been discussing a series of discussions, in fact, related to Tahara, based on the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. And I ask you some of these jurisprudential questions, and you kindly answer and provide the answers and enlighten us with these, responses to these Islamic questions. And for one, for example, let me ask you something about that. Like, are dead bodies impure? For example, is the body of an animal that has died within or without proper Islamic slaughter considered impure?
Right.
Does the impurity of the dead apply to all living beings or only certain ones, certain animals, such as, for example, the ones that with flowing blood, not gushing blood, right?
Yes.
What about fish or insects that die naturally? Are they considered najis? How about the human corpse? Is it impure before or after ritual washing? Ghusl al-mayyit.
Right. Well, as I mentioned in one of the previous episodes, the dead bodies of animals and species which have gushing blood and whose blood actually springs forth and jumps out when its arteries are cut is najis. The dead bodies of such animals is najis, and unless it is slaughtered, an animal is slaughtered according to Islamic laws, that najis, that animal is impure. Now think of a cow or a camel or a sheep which is not slaughtered according to Islamic law. And we don't mean the animals which are not edible, which cannot be eaten, and even though they are slaughtered according to Islamic law. Like, for example, if a wolf is slaughtered according to Islam, that slaughtering will not make it pure. That animal remains impure. Now, when it comes to human bodies, of course, human bodies are impure when it's unwashed and when the ritual ghusl is not performed on it.
Mm-hmm.
And if a person happens to touch the dead body of a human being, he must perform ghusl for touching that dead body, because it is one of the kinds of ghusl, one of the types of ghusl, ghusl for touching a dead body.
Mm-hmm.
In the event that the dead body has not been washed and has not been bathed and its body is cold and one touches it, then ghusl for touching a dead body becomes obligatory. And this is just a short answer to your question.
Thank you very much, Sheikh. I appreciate it. Let's take a short break and then we'll be back and continue our program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio. Stay tuned.
The followers of Ayatollah Khamenei can refer to leader.ir/en. In the section Religious Affairs, you can ask your question and receive the answer. In the library section, some of Ayatollah Khamenei's works of jurisprudence are available, including Practical Laws of Islam, Frequently Asked Questions, Comparative Fatwa, and Newly Asked Questions.
Allah, yeah, Allah.
guide me all the way to your Jannah, Ya Allah, oh Allah. Don't let me go astray, cause I need you.
Welcome back to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javed, our guest speaker. We are talking about some of the jurisprudential laws related to Tahara or purity based on the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. Sheikh Javed, are all kinds of alcoholic beverages impure? Since Islam prohibits the consumption of intoxicants, are all liquids that cause intoxication classified as najis or impure? Does this include industrial alcohols, medicinal spirits, perfumes, and cleaning agents that contain alcohol that are not intended for drinking?
Right.
How should one treat contact with such substances? And are there distinctions between khamr, wine, or intoxicants derived from grapes and alcohol from other sources?
Well, it's not true to say that all intoxicants are impure. Mm-hmm. Okay, so when it comes to wine, of course, the religious authorities agreed that wine is impure because it is intoxicant, and it is one of the evils that every Muslim should avoid. Even if a person drinks a drop of wine, it is absolutely forbidden because it is evil, it is impure. And when it comes to alcoholic liquor, again, all alcoholic liquors and beverages which intoxicate a person are impure. Even if it's not included, it does not come under the category of khamr or wine. But since it is intoxicating, it is impure. It is a liquor, it is a beverage, which is intoxicating, it is impure. And on the basis of precaution, everything which is originally liquid and intoxicates a person is kind of, it's impure. Mm. And this is the opinion held by His Eminence, Grand Ayatollah Khamenei. He says that, well, liquor or alcohol, when it comes from a liquid source, and it is intoxicating, it is najis, and it's haram to consume. Mm. But okay, there are some small quantity of alcohol, I don't know, existing in the perfume or medicine, of course.
Like industrial alcohol.
Yeah, that's called industrial alcohol. Generally speaking, the scholars have said that there's no problem and no objection to such alcohol existing in medicines and perfume.
I see. Well, is the sweat of a najis eating animal impure? Because we had it in one of the questions before. I'm talking about those animals that habitually eat impurities, such as human excrement, right?
Yeah.
What is the ruling on their other things, like, for example, sweat, saliva, milk?
Right.
All right. Are these substances considered najis or impure? Does the impurity persist even if the animal later abstains from pure, impure food for a certain period? How long should it be fed pure food or fodder before it becomes considered tahir or pure again?
Yes, that's a good question. I would say that, okay, when an animal is used to eating najis substances like the milk of a pig or the milk or the feces or the dung of a najis animal, or maybe the feces of humans, then the sweat of that animal is najis, its milk is najis, its urine is najis, and also it is dung is also najis. Imagine a cow used to or habituated to eating najis substances. It is impure. And so when it comes to the second part of your question, you said how long does it take to purify such an animal? Imagine a cow or a camel. Of course, the rulings concerning the camels and cows are different. Of course, when it comes to camels, the camels should be confined in a place with halal or clean and pure things provided for it, It should be confined for 40 days in order for the camel to be purified. Mm-hmm. And when it comes to a cow, it should be confined to a place for 20 days. And when it comes to a sheep or a goat, mm-hmm. it should be confined to a place for 10 days. And when it comes to chicken, of course, chicken will take 3 days to become pure.
Yes.
And of course, this is the time, but it differs from one animal to another animal.
I see. Thank you very much. Let's take a short break and then we'll be back and continue our program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio. Stay tuned.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
Welcome back to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Mohammed Jawad Hosseini's program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. We are talking about some of the jurisprudential laws related or pertaining to Tahara, or purity based on the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. Sheikh Javid, very quick question. When something is impure, what are the ways that can turn it into pure?
Okay,
good. All right? How does one know that an object or a person has become impure? What are the recognized means of establishing najasa, such as personal certainty, reliable testimony, or the statement of the person in possession of the object? Does mere doubt or suspicion make something najis? Or is clear evidence required? Additionally, how is tahara or purity restored once najasa has been established?
Well, the answers, I suppose, were very much easily found in the very question that you've provided. There are three ways of proving the najasa of anything. The first thing is one should be certain or satisfied that something is impure. Mm. If one suspects that something may be impure, it's not necessary to avoid it, because كُلُّ شَيْءٍ لَكَ طَاهِرٌ حَتَّى تَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ نَجِسٌ. Everything is pure for you unless you are certain that that thing is impure. So accordingly, eating or drinking at stalls and guest houses where people go to eat and where people without scruples actually about najasa frequent is allowed.
Right.
It's permissible to eat from these stalls unless one knows that the food supplied is in najis. When one knows, it means that he is 100% sure.
Right.
Okay? So this is the first condition and the first way of establishing the najasa of something. And then if a reliable person, a person whom you trust, and who possesses or controls or manages a thing, says that it is najis. For example, if the wife or a servant or a maid servant says that a particular utensil is okay, impure, then you have to accept it. This is the second way. And there is the third way, which I will mention very quickly. If two just persons actually testify to the effect that, okay, a certain thing is impure, provided that their testimony deals with the reason for najasa, of course, then their testimony is accepted and one should pay heed to it.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it, Sheikh. That was Sheikh Javid, my guest speaker, talking with me and shedding light on my Islamic questions related to tahara or purity based on the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. From me, Muhammad Javad, and the rest of the group, we bid you farewell. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Rahmanun Rahimun Mannanun Kareemun Salamun Aleemun Malja'a ilaha illahum Ghaffarun Jameelun Wahhabun Latifun Tawwabun Samiun Basir La ilaha illahum Wahid مُحِيٌّ مُمِيتٌ أَبْقَى